This is HPR episode 2624 entitled, Cycling Through Brussels. It is hosted by Nightwise and is about 22 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, on a hot day Nightwise rides his bike through Brussels.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello there, Hacker Public Radio. This is Nightwise. And I am, for the moment, in the very heart of the capital of Europe. I'm in Brussels, and I actually just dropped off my MacBook Pro at the store, the Apple store, to have the keyboard replaced. And I am on my way to the train station right now. Now, because I work at the other side of town, or of the city, which is quite a way off. I brought my little mini bike with me, and I cycled through Brussels. So I'm kind of going to do the same with you guys. I'm going to do a little sound-seeing tour through Brussels from where I am right now, which is in Le Rue de Toison d'Or, or the Street of the Golden Veil, or in Flemish, the Gulden Vliesland, all the way to Central Station. And I'll show you a little bit about the sights and the sounds that you hear and stuff. Right, so just leaving the deli here, had a quick veggie lunch. pushing my bike along the boardwalk. Well, it's not the boardwalk, it's the sideway. Side street, whatever. Sidewalk! All right, looking for words there. Kind of cycling on the sidewalk. You're not supposed to, but who cares? And I am going to drive down into the lowest part of Brussels, actually, where the train station's at and where the central square is at. Brussels is, of course, known, capital of Europe, many pretty museums, magnificent buildings, lots of history. Starting out here at the Gulden Vliesland, Le Rue de Toison d'Or, because Belgium is the trilingual country, every street has, in Brussels at least, has two street names, French one and a Flemish one. And right behind me there is the, if there's such a thing as Chinatown, it's Congo Town. It's the Matonge district. Featuring a lot of shops and people from Zaire and from the Congo region, from Africa. And it's like a black, well, not a suburb, but a black, I don't know, mini town inside Brussels. And it's very cool to shop. They have all these interesting little towns and the people are mega friendly. And because they have African roots, most of them come from Zaire. That was a former Belgian colony. They speak French and they have this fantastic accent. Wish I could hear some of these people talk. It's a fantastic African tainted French. So leaving Matonge, the Matonge district behind me, heading down through the Naamse Straat all the way down to the heart of the city. I have to cross the small little causeway around Brussels, which is like when you're in the city and you want to cross, you know, transverse the city, that's the road you take. This is not a place where you jaywalk. You jaywalk, you die. Even by car, it's a little bit of a challenge. And this is the first time actually that I'm doing this by bike. And now it's all downhill. It's fine, but it's actually a little windy. I It's warm wind because Belgium's suffering from a heat wave. We haven't had rain in, I don't know, 6 weeks or something. And it's, I think, still something like 30 degrees outside, and I'm, you know, cruising down. Now, it's not busy anymore, you know, shops are closing. It's about, I don't know, almost 6 o'clock. So not a lot of people on the sidewalk. I could just bike here, it's okay. Naamstraat connects the Rue de Toison d'Or with the Koningsplein, which is a square where we have a couple of very famous museums, one of them being the Musée de Marguerite, the museum dedicated to one of our surrealist painters, René Magritte, who is known for the painting of the pipe that says, "Ceci n'est pas une pipe," or "This is not a pipe." Very strange. And I don't know, people ask me, you know, before you Google René Magritte, which you should, you know, what style is this? Well, if you are a Monty Python fan, you know those little animated sketches they had in the middle, you know, of the, I don't know, sometimes a cutout head and a foot stomping on it and stuff. He has kind of like that style, to be honest. It's a little, you know, Monty Python-esque. Of course, Monty Python was inspired by René Magritte and not the other way around, because there was René before there was, you know, the Holy Grail and the knights who say me. Heading up to the Koningsplein here. Be a little bit careful where I drive. Don't want to, you know, kill any pedestrians getting off the sidewalk. All right, bicycle lane right here. Woohoo! And it's cool. I mean, I just cycled up this road, which is pretty uphill, about half an hour ago. It was bustling with activity, and half an hour later, it's a totally different city. This is, of course, now the domain of the locals. Still busy, still cool. But, you know, cycling past the Musée de René Magritte, and a little bit further down, as we go towards the Jewish Museum, there is one of the most exquisite museums, at least museum buildings, in Brussels, which is the Museum for Musical Instruments. And I'll see if I can get you some pics in the show notes, because you got to see some of these sites. It is a fantastic building, and it was also designed by one of Belgium's greatest architects, René Magritte. No, good thing it wasn't designed by René Magritte. It would have fell. It would have been floating upside down in the air with mushrooms growing out of its ass. I don't know. It was designed by Victor Horta, which was a fantastic architect from the beginning of the century, and he made some magnificent buildings. And La Musée des Instruments de Musique is one of them. All right, passing a group of tourists here. We're here with a guide looking at the square. The guide is explaining what they do. And then passing Glacier Pasqualito. Monsieur, vous prenez des cartes aussi? Non, okay, merci. Damn, I don't have any cash money with me, and I was kind of checking if this guy who has this little yellow truck and he sells gofres, Belgian waffles, but you know, Belgian waffles, I'll tell you about that. Just checking if he took credit card, but doesn't. Damn. Should bring cash someday. Don't use cash. So this guy sells waffles, and there are, you know, everybody says Belgian waffles, but there's no such thing as a Belgian waffle. It doesn't exist, because Belgians have two kinds of waffles. Brussels waffles, les gaufres de Bruxelles, hello, and very nice, pretty tourist ladies walking around, hot weather, beautiful women. Brussels is a sight for sore eyes. We have Brussels waffles, which are kind of desserty, light, crunchy, served with whipped cream and chocolate or fresh fruit. And then you have les gaufres liégeoises, which are a little bit more, which are smaller, a little doughy, heavier, but also delicious. Sometimes cinnamon taste is added to them. And I like the latter. I like les gaufres liégeoises. There's a street artist here. I'm just walking down the stairs. So you come from the Koningsplein, you go a little way down, and then you go through, you pass down a couple of stairs. Right in front of you is a little park, and you have a fantastic view of the city. Of course, this place is packed with tourists taking shots. vendors selling stuff, having a good time. Oh man, Brussels really alive. And I'm passing the Jewish Museum, which has this beautiful sign on the wall, which says, and I'll give it to you in Dutch, "Wie één leven redt, redt heel de wereld." He who saves one life, saves the world. And that's a very inspiring thought. Always like that. And whenever I pass through here, I kind of try to read it out loud. Inspire me. Okay, walking, cycling through the little park here with beautiful trees, people sitting here, and I can actually smell a barbecue. Somebody has brought a barbecue and they are having a barbecue. And there is a golden rule that says everybody in smelling range of a barbecue is allowed to be invited to said barbecue and should be fed at said barbecue. Although I don't think I can actually, you know, prove that point. All right, cycling a little bit further down. We are heading towards Central Station. Also a lot of tourists here again, admiring the buildings, having a tour guide. Spanish guide or Portuguese guide, giving them the sights and the sounds and telling them, you know, what's going on. All right. Kantersteen. This is the main road that goes from east to west through through the town, and it interconnects with the Wetstraat, le Rue du Loi, where all our government buildings are, and the palace of our king is not that far from here. And I've been working in Brussels for a while now, and at my previous assignment I would be here around the Central Station of Brussels a little earlier, and every day, every time I came, about the same time, well, you know, the king goes to work. And he would have this amazing police escort with lights and sirens and you know, motorbikes, the motorcade. And this is really impressive stuff, you know, the king's motorcade is cool. These guys, they really drive through the city like they own the place, and they are literally able to stop traffic at the drop of a hat. They take complete control of the situation. It is probably one of the most macho things that I've ever seen, and it's way cool. And you know, after the motorbikes comes the king's limo, and because the streets are actually quite narrow, you can see him. You know, you can wave at your king in the morning. I actually did that a couple of times. Passing through Central Station here, quickly gonna check if my good friend Henry's here. It's a homeless guy that I befriended when I commuted to the Central Station, but you know, these days, you know, the last couple of weeks I have to go to La Gare du Nord, so I haven't been able to check up on him. But the spot where he's at is right in the sun, so he's not gonna be there. All right, heading into the train station, Brussels Central. Central Station in Brussels. Always a lot of interesting people here. Let me see which train we can take. Ba-ba-ba-ba. I have the 1850 to be sure. That one's gonna, is that? Yeah, that's gonna take, 1849 is gonna take me to Tongeren. I've got the 1834 to Hasselt. Can I get there sooner? No, it's going to be the 1845 track 3. I can jump trains and hustle should I want to. And the Central Train Station is a pretty amazing place because all the tracks are underground. So it's like a giant subway with trains. So it's a completely subterranean construction. There's a big building at the bottom, at the top, of course. And then you actually descend, like I'm doing right now, down the stairs, and you can go to the different tracks. Again, a lot of beautiful people walking around, a lot of sights and sounds to take in. And you will hear the voice of the Belgian National Train Service announcing the different trains. This is a fantastic text-to-speech application that they wrote, which gives our little lady a magnificent voice, and she, you know, announces all of the trains. And because Brussels is in the heart of Belgium, it's a trilingual country. The announcements are in Dutch, in French, sometimes in English, and in German. And now it's easy. Now it's quiet. So she's kind of shutting up. But when it's rush hour, one train after the other is coming in. That's not her. I'll tell you when it's her. This is just a standard PA message. But when the trains are coming in high speed, it's this constant, you know, track 15, train to Otigny coming in, blah, blah, blah. And then she goes on and on and on and on. And it's magnificent to hear. Because when you close your eyes, and especially for you guys, if you're not native and you don't understand the language, it sounds very, very.
De IC-trein naar Brussels Airport Zaventem van 18:27 spoor 3.
Voie 3, le train IC à destination de Brussels Airport Zaventem. De 18:27, voie 3, Gleis 3, der IC-zug naar Brussels Airport Zaventem.
Track 3, the 6, 27 IC train to Brussels Airport Zaventem, track 3.
There you go. That was the announcement to the airport in four languages. And you got to imagine this when I go a little bit higher up, when you get a lot of reverb on this voice. And it's busy and she's just pounding out one announcement after the other. It's fantastic. So here I am in the big hall. So now you hear her with this reverb. It's fantastic. What I'm going to do is I'm going to get myself a snack. And I'll just let you enjoy some of the sounds and the different languages of this train station. So I'll shut up for a while and you can just imagine what it is like walking through here at the heart of Europe. Well, it's during a kind of quiet evening during the holidays. Getting a soda. Oh, one of these good green tea sodas, those are good. There you go. Yeah, I'll try that. S'il vous plaît. Ah non, c'est pas assez. Hein. Je peux manger aussi, hein. Autrefois, j'avais avoir du pain sur le train. Oui. J'avais monté la ville jusqu'à Toisson d'Or. Quand même, oui. La dernière pièce après le Place de Roi. Je l'avais fait par pied parce que bah, c'est trop. Hein. Non, c'est pour des pensionneurs, hein, des vélos électriques. Hein. Non, ça va. Il y a du bon vitesse dessus et des petites vitesses, donc ça va. Un tarte de riz, s'il vous plaît.
Un morceau, hein.
Un morceau, oui. Ouais. Allez, pas un gros tarte. Hein.
Voilà.
Ah, merci. S'il vous plaît.
Attendez, j'ai fait
un... Oh.
Désolé.
Vous
voyez, vous me retrouvez, hein.
Oui. S'il vous plaît, autrefois, ce sera passé, hein. Voilà.
Et voilà, je vous
remercie. Allez, ça va marcher.
Merci
beaucoup, madame. À la prochaine. So Brussels is a bilingual city. Most of the time you start out in French, Most of the people speak both, but you kind of do both. Let me see, Hasselt, 1834. So what I'm going to do, I live in the east part of the country, I live in Tongeren. So I'm going to take the train to Hasselt, which is in the middle of my province, and then I'm going to switch trains to the end of this of the line. Normally, when I take the train 10 minutes to the hour, I have a direct train. I have a direct connection to where I live. Trains are well air conditioned, not always on time, but it's okay. Right. So we taking the bike down the stairs. And we're gonna transform it into its compact mode. Great little mini bike that I have. I'm very pleased with that. All right, train's already coming in. It's early. Not complaining. All right, there we go. Fold in the steering wheel. There we go. Click. And transform. Okay, this is one of those funny announcements which are track changes, which I call the train Olympics, because at the last minute they say, hey, your train's coming in on another track, and you have to go up the stairs, across the station, down the stairs, and you see people running for their lives. Always nice. Here's my train. It's a big one, air conditioned. I am happy. So I'm going to sit down, enjoy my book. I'm actually reading an ebook, and I'm going to take my little bike with me. And I will see you when I see you. I hope you enjoyed this little sightseeing tour in the parts of Europe, in one of the busiest train stations of Europe. And I'm going to get on board my little train here. And I hope to see you guys again. This was Nightwise, not doing any painting this time, doing something else. And, well, see you next time. Ta-da!
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.